So why are we here, Mike?
I think we're here to start a podcast.
A 350 piece puzzle in 22 minutes.
Last night? Or that was last weekend?
Last week. Yeah. Last night we did a different one. It took us 26.
But your average is coming way down.
Yeah.
And when is the competition?
A week from Saturday. 13 days.
You're going out east twice. Twice in 2 weeks.
Going out east?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to Clinton next weekend.
Yeah.
Rescheduled.
We rescheduled our snowed out show for next weekend. Clinton's a rough town. Probably was a relatively wealthy town. It's right on the Mississippi at one point in time, but now is a pretty depressed river town.
Pretty much. I mean, it's always been sort of the same since I went to college there. It's just always been the same. Just sort of grimy. That suits me just fine.
Right. Yeah, I've never been, so.
You've never been to Clinton?
No.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's not easy to get to. Like, you really, no, if you're no going reason. To Clinton, you're going to Clinton.
Yeah, there's no reason to go there unless you go there.
Yeah, you're not just driving, happen through Clinton.
Yeah, it's not like Dubuque or Davenport.
Yeah. So this happens in my hometown every once in a while because my hometown is out in the middle of nowhere. And there is a highway that runs through it, but that highway doesn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, like, I'll meet somebody and I'll, you know, they'll have lived in New Mexico or familiar with New Mexico, and I'll say where I'm from, and they're like, oh, yeah, I drove through that place on my way to, you know, Clovis or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's very, like if you're going to go through my hometown, it's very purposeful. You just don't happen your way into my town.
Yeah.
And Maquoketa is kind of the same.
Well, kind of.
Because it's off the freeway.
Yeah, Maquoketa is directly between Dubuque and Davenport.
That high traffic area. It's a real San Diego Tijuana situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Between Davenport and Dubuque.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening there. Growing up in Maquoketa was like a lot of going out of town to do stuff.
Right.
We had a good movie theater, but that was fun, but we still always went out of town for.
Mm-hmm. Is it still open?
Mm-hmm. Yep, three screens.
Whoa.
And, big deal. And then also the drive-in.
Mm. Oh, the drive-in's still open, right?
Yep.
I think it might be the only one that's still open in Iowa.
Probably.
Every summer, Katie and I are just like, let's go to the drive-in this summer. Yeah. And then we've never done it, but.
Oh, yeah, you definitely should. You could sneak her and put her in the trunk. Yeah, I'm going to the movies alone. Or you could save yourself $7.
And then they just hear her open a Busch Light from the trunk. Oh, I know this trick. So I wrote a song maybe a couple of years ago at this point, but we've recorded it, and so I'm working on mixing it finally. It's called She Said Go Back to Your Dying Hometown, and is based off of this op-ed that I read where it's like she lived in Portland, but she moved back to her hometown in Minnesota. And she was like saying, like, go back to your town and like help build it back up, because there's all this brain drain from small towns in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, go back, like housing's affordable, you can create the life you want to live and all that. But so I just sort of reimagine in the song, I reimagine trying to go back to my hometown. But one of the lines I have is the theater hasn't shown a movie in 30 years, which is true.
Oh, yeah.
We had a movie theater that was open for about 3 years.
Oh.
And that was it.
The theater in my hometown is, or in Maquoketa, has been there as long as I know. Like, when I moved to Maquoketa, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. Same, looks the same. Kind of wild.
Yeah.
We used to go on Tuesday nights because it was, you could get in for matinee prices on Tuesday nights.
Oh, yeah.
$2 to get in or something.
Right. See Ghostbusters 6 times for $12.
Oh, yeah. We used to go, we would go and whatever was playing, you just go because you do the same movie and just be like, whatever, it's mm-hmm. something to do. I think I saw Forrest Gump like 4 times there. Gump?
All right.
You were a goddamn genius.
Can you just quote that movie now?
I could.
Can you name all the shrimps? Shrimp etouffee.
Shrimp Creole. Shrimp gumbo. I like when he gets to the end and he goes, he stops and he goes, I guess that's about it. And then Forrest, they're both on the floor scrubbing with toothbrushes. Forrest looks up at him for a second and then just goes back to scrubbing with the toothbrush. Bubba must have talked a lot and Forrest must have just listened.
Well, doesn't that scene happen over like three different things? Like they're on the bus and then they're somewhere else and then they're scrubbing floors. Yeah. And he's still just talking about shrimp dishes.
Yeah.
It's pretty clever. Well, hey, welcome to Wes and Mike Waste Time Watching TV.
Here we are.
Season 6, episode 9.
Yeah, this one's called The Orgy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know what it was going to be about. Orgy of the mind,
yeah,
I
thought. Could have been, it could have been an orgy at a buffet, just eating so much food.
Smorgasborgy. But, I don't know if places ever been called that. That's
smorgasbord,
pretty clever.
Smorgasborgy. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You got your retirement plan. How could that fail?
Yeah, just serving meat to weirdos who want to come to a place called Smorgasborgy.
There's going to be a lot of guys with trench coats and ponytails.
I've got a real affinity for those things.
But we've decided we're just going to roll into season 2 of this show.
I've been enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
As you can sort of, you know, you in the beginning, we talked about these episodes being standalone, but there are some character development happening.
Yeah, and some arcs starting to occur. Yeah, the second half of the season is way better than the first half of the season, I would say that.
Yeah.
Just, the writing is tighter. The characters seem to be more defined. Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. So we're just going to roll into season 2. So season 6 continue right after this.
Hot damn.
Do some cleanup and clarifications. Sorry, what is it? Corrections and clarifications.
Yeah.
All right. So we were talking about the crows last time. So I went in, I was trying to understand why crows gather. So it's like warmth, protection. But the other thing that they do is that they share information about food sources with each other. And so I was reading this study. A handful of crows will find a food source, like a dead deer or some dead animal, and will come back and share that information with the other members of their pods.
Okay.
And they know this because they can look at the droppings. Mm-hmm. And so, like, on the first night, there'll just be, like, a couple of birds with droppings from that food source. And then the next night, there will be a few more. And then the next night, there will be a few more than that until the food source is gone. And so they keep telling their buddies, like, hey, I got a secret stash, man.
Follow me. Follow me to the highway. You just have to watch out for cars.
Right. Crows are smart, though, man. Can use tools. I just saw this thing on Instagram where...
Skill saw?
I mean, if you're a basic bitch crow, you just use a skill saw.
Oh, okay.
if you're real good, you use a miter saw.
Oh, gotcha. Or a circular saw. Everybody uses one of those.
This guy posted on Instagram that his daughter started feeding the crows, and then the crow started bringing her gifts. They really like shiny things. So they'll just pick up, like, shiny rocks or, like, if somebody drops necklace or something. So they would just pick that up and bring it and take it to the daughter. And she just started collecting all the things that the crows were bringing her.
She should start an Instagram. That'd be interesting.
I'll send you the post. Maybe she has.
Yeah, weird shit the crows brought her. Right.
Yeah, and there's just a picture of, like, 30 different things that the crows brought.
Well, here's a human hand.
That's going right on top.
Well, there was a ring attached to it.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a lot. So, the Solid Waste Agency up in Cedar Rapids.
Oh, from Mount Trashmore?
It's officially called it Mount Trashmore. I didn't think about that when we were talking about it last time.
Okay.
But there's a signage and everything for Hike Mount Trashmore. And then there's a Mount Trashmore Challenge that if you climb it, I don't know, like... 90 times or something like that. Uh-huh. It's the equivalent of hiking Everest. Every summer they start out and they're like, do the Everest challenge on Mount Trashmore, and you have to hike it so many times.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And then if you, in every hypodermic needle that you find, bring in and put it in a sharps container.
Or just give it to a crow. and then Dave sent us a correction, friend of the podcast, good. Dave Cecil.
Good, good.
So the Harlem River divides Manhattan from the Bronx, which does make Manhattan completely surrounded by water.
So there's just a bridge that connects.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha. So it just seems like they're contiguous.
Yes.
I use it a word.
Good one. So it looks like a peninsula if you're looking kind of far out on a map. Uh-huh. But there is, in fact, a body of water between.
Now we know. Thanks, Dave.
All right. That's all I have for clarifications and corrections. It's been a slow week.
Let's fucking get into this, then. This one is called The Orgy. And we start out, and there's just a lot of activity around the house. Seems like they're preparing for something. And we find out that Nandor says that their home has been selected for the biannual vampire orgy.
What an opening line for a show.
Biannual.
Right. This is another thing I saw on Instagram this week. Is there's a definition of bi-monthly, mm-hmm. and it's like twice a month or every other month.
Right.
And somebody just said, somebody needs to come up with a definition for this. So biannually, is that every 2 years, or is it twice a year?
I think it's twice a year.
Okay.
Because right here, Nadja says, one time they tried going triannual, and Laszlo said that's pointless because it takes him at least 6 months to recover from any orgy.
Yeah, good point.
So they're doing it twice a year.
All right.
Nandor goes, vampire sex is like pizza, in that even when it's bad, it's good. So that's kind of an old hack thing to say.
Yes.
But then he goes on, he goes, it's designed to be enjoyed by 8 or more people. There's a choice of toppings.
And they show, God.
Like, they show, like, some drawings of, like, people and, like, doing weird stuff together.
Yeah, we don't talk about that much, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of artwork they do.
Yeah, so during the interviews, there's almost always drawings... Mm-hmm. Of whatever they're talking about, mm-hmm. which is like a pretty fun storytelling device.
Yeah. And he goes, and in the morning you're like, why do I have puncture wounds on my penis? So I don't know what's funny to me is Nandor says vampire sex is like pizza, but he can't eat pizza.
Yeah, and they definitely do not have pizza in Al Aradum.
Al Corral.
Al Corral. But that's like a pretty good misdirection joke.
Yeah.
Describing pizza, and then you just talk about puncture wounds on your penis.
Right, yeah. Laszlo explains that vampire sex, he's pretty excited. He goes, vampire sex is a carnival of desires, with pale bodies as far as the eye can see, fornicating, diddling, whittling, snarling, an amazing experience that can last for years. And then Nadja goes, it's fine. Yes.
Every woman's response to an orgy that she'd been to with her boyfriend.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah.
He's so excited.
Right. And then we go to the theme song.
Yeah.
You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, and out of this world.
Yes. I just air punched.
Yeah. Now your hope and compassion is gone. You sold your dream to the world. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. You're dead and out of this world. Is that lady still alive?
Yes, I believe so.
Norma Taniga.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody's setting up, and Nadja's got a, what's that thing called? A clipboard.
Yes.
She's like checking stuff off. Yes. And she says that they need a blood fountain. And then she tells Guillermo, she's like, we need some pure opium, about 10 kilos.
Jesus Christ.
Guillermo's like, where would I find that at? And so I was trying to find out, without getting in trouble, what the cost of 10 kilos of opium would be. I couldn't exactly find it, but it seems like it's anywhere between $100,000 and $1 million.
Yes. Yeah, pure opium.
Yeah. Pure opium.
Yeah, not cheap.
So is that what heroin's made out of it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because that's what kept coming up was heroin.
Right. You can't actually find pure opium in the world, like unless you work in an opium field. Where does opium come from?
Like an opium monger.
Yes. Opium mongers. What's the plant?
I don't know.
Oh God!
Well, I guess
it's a flower. We'll look it up.
Oh, you mean it comes from the earth? People keep saying that about weed. It's like you can't. Make it illegal. It comes from the air.
So does opium. It would be nearly impossible to find pure opium in Staten Island.
Yeah, and probably 10 kilos of it's probably...
tall order.
Yeah, for Guillermo.
Guillermo just walking the streets of Newark. Be like, does anybody have any pure opium?
Pure opium?
Not looking suspicious at all.
No, just wearing his cardigans. So they're talking about how they need all this stuff. Laszlo says we need some sexy paintings for the walls, and Nadia goes, I think we should replace this picture with the one of us where we are naked and we have cherries in our bums. So that's a fun thing to think about. Yes. Nadia and Laszlo with cherries in their bums. And then Laszlo explains that he needs some protective spray to put over the carpeting because Laszlo will spray all over the carpeting.
So and, gross.
Yeah. And then we go to an interview with Laszlo and Nadia. So Laszlo goes, you don't understand the stigma of throwing a poor orgy. And Nadia says that people have committed suicide after throwing a poor orgy. And Laszlo goes, I wouldn't go that far. And Nadia goes, well, I would kill you, though. And then I'd kill myself. And then they talk about the notorious orgy of 1937. So this is funny because... What's that?
Who doesn't remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we try not to talk about that.
It was in the history book that we had in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So Nadja says it was just terrible. It was just a bunch of chit-chat. And she goes, I cannot even speak the name of the vampire that organized that monstrosity. And Laszlo goes, I don't give a fuck. His name was Mike. And then Nadja goes, fucking Mike.
You got name checked. That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah, my friend sent me that a video of me or of them saying that like 2 years ago.
Nice.
I don't give a fuck. His name is Mike. And then we go back to the party prep, and Nadja says that they need some Burmese lingam and needs an ancient Burmese lingam and yoni set. And to be safe, they should get six. So I was very confused what that was. So I looked it up. And the lingam is a distinctly aniconic, It is a smooth cylindrical mass, so I guess it's penis-shaped. Often rests in the center of a lipid disc-shaped object. The yoni, that's the disc-shaped object, which is an emblem for the goddess of Shakti, or the goddess Shakti. So I got confused by that, and I had to look up what the goddess Shakti was. I don't know. It's just boring stuff. Yeah. It's like Hindu stuff.
Yeah, that sentence made no sense to me.
Yeah. The goddess represents dynamic forces that permeate the universe. Shakti embodies feminine energy and is often depicted as the consort of Shiva. Mm. I don't know what Shiva is either.
Shiva is the Hindu god.
Okay. Well, she's the consort of Shiva. So we gotta get down the rabbit hole. Yeah.
So yoni. So I've heard like yoni be used for vagina.
Yeah, that's what.
So I assumed that the lingam was some phallus. Sort of thing. Well, Brian's at work.
Brian's fucking shit up. He showed up. This has been a while since he's done any actual work on this show. Right. Thanks, buddy.
He's cleaning off the table.
Nadja says that they must have a succulent virgin feast, and Guillermo's trying to explain to them that they, he feels like he may have overfished the LARPing group, and there's no virgins left. Nandor, they're like really hassling Guillermo, Nadja, and Laszlo, mm-hmm. And Nandor's like, he goes, please, Guillermo's my familiar, only I can order him about. And Guillermo goes, thank you, master, is there anything that you need? And Nandor goes, all those things they just said. And some absorbent towels.
It's one of those moments where Nandor speaks up and Guillermo looks so happy.
Yeah.
And then Nandor lets him down immediately afterwards.
Right. Yeah. If he's been doing this for 10 plus years.
This is on you, Guillermo.
Yeah, I think so.
Go find a new employer.
And then Laszlo finishes the conversation by saying that they need to recover the Chaise lounge because he'll ejaculate straight through that thing.
Somebody really enjoyed writing this episode.
I think so. I feel like Nadja might be in danger if he's doing that kind of activity. So now we go to Colin's room, and he's sitting in this, like, his room is like gray, and the walls are gray, and it's kind of cracked, and he's got like almost like, it's not a bare mattress, but it's basically a bare mattress on his bed.
Looks almost like a prison cell. It's about the size of a prison cell.
Yeah. It's got, like, bad lighting. And he goes, my only concern about the orgy is that people won't enjoy my room. I mean, I've never had anyone in here. But I'd set up a strobe light and a couple of speakers playing some acid jazz.
That was a great choice.
Yeah. By the way, I looked up to see what acid jazz was because I'm like, I don't know what. And you know who, like, the most famous acid jazz performers are, according to ChatGPT?
So there was that band that did that song Cantaloupe in, like, the late 90s. And they were acid, like, they were considered acid jazz.
Okay.
So, like, it was a combination of, like, techno.
Yeah.
And, like, reworking sort of jazz through, like, a techno lens.
Yeah, I remember that song.
So who was it?
Were they called the Brand New Heavies? Because that was one band. Right.
No, that was not the Brand New Heavies.
And then Jamiroquai.
What?
That's what it said.
God. ChatGPT.
I didn't think Jamiroquai was
No.
It's sort of.
They're just a funk band.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Okay. Well, now we know. According to ChatGPT, that not everything is correct, according to ChatGPT. He goes, what else? I have my trusty filing cabinet here. It's like this rusty-looking...
That you'd find at a bad Goodwill.
Right. He goes, I've always wanted one of these when I was a child, but never got one. It was one of my first purchases. And I also stocked up on some Neosporin. I don't know why he did that. He's got some paintings on his walls. He goes, this one shows human food. And if I ever have a human in here, they'll feel at home. I found that at a Holiday Inn. I'm really getting into this.
So I feel like Colin saying one of his first purchases was a two-drawer filing cabinet.
Right.
Is might be the most insight we've had into Colin up to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. So the next scene is Naj is explaining that during the orgy, like traditional orgies, they have a mirrored ceiling so you can watch yourself in the ceiling. But since they're vampires, they can't see themselves. So they've devised a plan.
This is so dumb.
We cut to Guillermo standing on a ladder with a bullhorn. And he's supposed to basically do like a play-by-play, I guess, of what they're up to. And Guillermo's like, I don't know what you want me to say. And Nander goes, just describe what you see. And then they all start doing like these...
sex thrusts.
Yeah, they're like miming having sex. And Guillermo goes, well, it's a beautiful scene. Someone is seductively riding a candlestick up and down. Someone's on the couch sucking and getting sucked. Naji goes, louder! And that stresses Guillermo. And he goes, and then we go to an interview with him. He goes, I will not be participating in the orgy. Besides, I don't kiss and tell. But I can tell you that I don't kiss. So I don't know if he's a virgin. He's not a virgin. There's no way
they'd let him. Does a familiar have to be a virgin?
I doubt it. I guess it's something we can learn about.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the thing, and Guillermo's up on the ladder, and Naj is like, we need specifics. What am I doing with my ass cheeks? He's like, I don't know. You're licking it? And Lazlo's like, just describe what you see. It's not hard, good boy. Guillermo's like, I can't do this. I was raised very Catholic. Back to the interview, and he goes, it's just a lot of demanding things. I mean, I'm not even technically their familiar. They've just been asking me to do all kinds of stuff. And then Guillermo's trying to put something together, and it's a pleasure swing.
Yes.
And Lazlo walks in, and he goes, it's a pleasure swing, you fuck nut. Not a sex net. And then he points to a box over, and it's like, it looks like it's came from like a store.
Target or Walmart. Yeah.
It just says, and it says sex net on it. He goes, that's a sex net. Get that out of the box and attach it to the ceiling. And Guillermo goes, we go to an interview, and it's Guillermo. He's like, Gizmo, get the dildo. Gizmo, try out the dildo. How were the dildo? They're fine. So I guess he tried them out.
I guess he's not a virgin.
I guess not. And Nandor comes in, because Lazlo called Guillermo a fucknut.
Yes.
And Nandor comes in, he goes, no one is a fucknut, okay? He's trying to finish it, Lazlo. And what about the virgins? Has anyone got any of those yet? Guillermo's, no, not yet. And Naji goes, oh, of course you haven't. He's like, well, I'm trying, but... And then Naji goes, but, you're a nonstop butt machine. I thought, it reminds me, have you ordered the nonstop butt machine? That's more fun writing.
Yes.
When we were young, we went out with like a group of people, probably like 12 of us were at a bar, and at some point we were joking around about going to the porn shop. And so, like, all 12 of us went at the same time. they're not used to that volume of customer. No. It was very confusing.
Oh, no, yeah. The porn shop is a one person at a time type of deal.
Yeah, so, like, a whole bunch of us went upstairs at the same time because there's, like, a, I don't know, like, a video room or something. We went upstairs at the same time, and there's just, like, a guy up there smoking a cigarette, leaned up against the wall, and he was, like, because he was probably waiting to, like, you know, do something interesting like, with another person. What? Maybe he was in charge of the glory hole. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking they might play backgammon.
They might have. Or front gammon. but anyway, we were at the shop, and they did not have a nonstop butt machine, but they did have something called a portable button dong, and it was just a butt and then a dong, and I guess you could use the butt part for yourself and then use the dong part on the other part of yourself. I don't know. Huh. But you could get that. They had those for sale.
Huh. You did not get one.
No, but you could probably look them up.
Butt dong.
Butt and dong.
Okay.
Portable button dong.
Okay. Hot tip for all you listeners. The button dong.
Yeah, Brad. Brad's been listening a lot. He's been texting me.
And maybe he's using the button dong, and that's why he can't send us factoids.
Maybe. let's see here. Guillermo gets mad because he's like, you know, because they won't stop. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to take 5 minutes before I say something I'm going to regret. And then he storms out. The next scene is we are in Guillermo's in his room, which is like a little closet under mm-hmm. the steps. I like when he storms out. And he's like, and Andrew goes, hey, easy there, slam the door. And Laszlo goes, are you going to let him get away with that? And Andrew goes, he's gone. He's gotten away with it.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. and then, so we go to Guillermo, and he's in his room, and Nandor walks in, and he's like, knock, knock. Guillermo's like, oh, good evening, master. Is there something you need? And then Nandor sits down on Guillermo's bed and, like, just sits on his legs.
Just completely oblivious.
Yeah. He's like, no, I'm just coming in for a chat. I noticed that Nadja and Laszlo have been quite pushy with you. With all the orgy planning. And Guillermo goes, oh, that's okay. It's not a big deal, master. And Andrew goes, no, it is a big deal. And they locked you in this closet? Guillermo goes, this is my room. I pay $1,200 a month. We go to Nandor in an interview, and he goes, if I am finding a situation where an idiot is complaining to me, you can either kill them or you can pretend to listening to them.
Also, this begs the question, where does Guillermo get $1,200 a month to pay rent?
I don't know. Yeah, because he used to work at Panera.
That's right.
But he doesn't anymore. And so now we go to Guillermo, and Guillermo and Nando are in there in his room. And so Nando has decided he's going to listening to him.
Rather than kill him.
Right. He goes, so what you're saying is that your feelings have been hurt. Guillermo goes, well, kind of. And Nando goes, talk about that.
You see Guillermo again. Like, oh, he's paying attention. He cares about me.
Right. Yeah. And so Guillermo's like, oh, okay, well, sometimes I feel that just... Nandor's like, yes, yes. Guillermo goes, I feel like people aren't listening to me when I speak. Nandor's like, yes, yeah, tell me more. And he's just like talking over the top of him. Guillermo goes, and they just tell me yes, and they don't really listen to what I'm saying. Nandor goes, yes, really speak from the heart. So I looked this up, and I saw that Nandor is using active listening techniques.
Yes.
You're aware of these,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm very aware of active.
Tell me more about that.
He's sort of using active listening techniques.
Yes, yes.
He's acting like he's using
active. Speak from the heart. Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing good then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, Mike, I have cancer.
Oh, yes. Guillermo says, when I speak from the heart, there's really no one, there's no one's really, and then Nandor goes, and now this bitch is done. And we go to the attic, and Laszlo's going through a box, or some boxes, and one of the boxes just has written on the side, like, yours would say, like, Christmas, or kitchen, or whatever. This one says orgy stuff.
Yes.
And there are a few of his favorite things are in there, like a cat of nine tails,
mm-hmm.
Oliver Cromwell's head,
oh God,
his codpiece, his bat codpiece. 200-year-old peekaboo cape, And he was wearing the cape. He's like, the idea is you walk into the orgy, you announce yourself, and then you open the cape, and then he had his dong all blurred out.
Yes.
And it looked like it was about 12 inches long. Oliver Cromwell, did we speak of him like when we were talking about when Dairy Girls?
Yeah, so he was a British politician.
Yeah.
I think the early 1900s.
No, I looked him up.
Late 1800s?
1600s.
Oh, 1600s, that's right.
Yeah. So he defeated King Charles, and then he signed his death warrant.
Mm.
And then he led England after the Commonwealth of England after that.
And then he was somehow involved with, like, the conquering of Ireland?
I think so, yeah, because the Irish hated him.
Yes.
Yeah. They've got his head.
Yeah. The Irish will be happy to hear this.
Yeah, I'm sure. and then he finds a box of stuff that he's really excited about sharing with Nadja. In the late 1800s, a new and exciting medium was invented, and that medium was called cinema. And then about a week later, they developed into pornos. That's a very accurate thing to say. Like, every new thing that comes out just turns into somehow being able to... Every new form of entertainment that comes out turns... There's some way of turning it into a way to make money off of people.
Off of sex.
Sex.
So do you remember Vine?
Yeah.
So Vine was just like some video platform, but you could only do like 15-second videos or something like that. Mm-hmm. I remembered very distinctly when Vine came out that... Like, the third video I ever posted on Vine was a porno or something like that.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Vine is basically like TikTok, but not as long. Mm-hmm. Our friend Travis Bales was really good on TikTok, or on Vine. He was really funny on there.
He was?
Yeah, he had quite a following, I think.
No shit.
And then Vine just went away.
Right, and then all your followers just disappear.
I don't have a lot of followers on anything. No. I have like 1,300 on Twitter.
Mm.
About as good as it gets, I guess. That's pretty good, I guess.
Pretty good.
1,300 people want to hear me talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes and what kind of food I ate.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's talking about how they went into porn. And so he started making porn videos. And he made one called The Adventures of a Very Randy Vampire. He goes, I played the leading role of a very randy vampire. I was cast because they thought I looked like a vampire, never once realizing that I was a fucking vampire. He's like, I took part in thousands of pornos over the years, and if you see them now, they're still very erotic. He goes in to talk to Nadja, and he wants to show her all this porn that he's created. She's busy. She's, like, a little distracted and doesn't really care to watch.
She's organizing a party.
Yeah, and he wants to watch this terrible porn that he's created. So then we cut away from that to... Guillermo and Nando are at like a party store and they're shopping. So it's almost like it reminded me of like a Halloween, like one of those Halloween stores, but I guess it was more like a party city or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for, I don't know, just stuff to get. He's like, Guillermo goes, we're still looking for virgins, but my master thought it'd be best to get some decorations first. Which makes sense because, well, it just makes sense. So Guillermo's talking to the clerk. And she's got, like, the chocolate fountain. He goes, so this chocolate fountain, can you put other stuff in it, like, that's thicker than chocolate? And she goes, what's thicker than chocolate? Nandor walks up. He goes, did you ask about the jade buttock eggs? Guillermo's like, no, I did not. I was confused what that was, so I looked it up. There's a jade egg called a yoni egg. So it's used to strengthen your vaginal muscles.
Oh, cool.
So he's talking about putting them in his buttocks. Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. You simply insert the yoni egg and begin Kegel exercises. And you can keep the egg inserted for up to 12 hours a day.
Oh, boy. Jeez.
It's funny. I was looking that up, and, like, there's all kinds of, like, stuff you can do like that. And it's like, how do you get through your day if that's what where your head's at? Right. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got stuff to do. I can't be walking around... thinking, like, having something shoved in my butt at the same time.
Afraid your jade egg is going to fall out of your butt at any moment.
Yeah. I don't know how you get. I just don't know how you get through the day. I guess you just focus on different stuff. So he says, "Did you ask about this?" And Guillermo goes, "No, I did not." And the girl goes, "Butter cakes?" And Nando goes, "Buttock eggs, made from jade, that you put inside your butt." Guillermo's like, I don't think they have them. And the clerk goes, I'd have to check on that. So she's like being normal.
Very sincere.
Yeah, yes. I'd have to check on that. And he goes, they don't need to be made of jade. And she goes, well, I haven't seen them. He goes, they can be made of anything, but not silver, you know, because of otherwise. Ouch. And Guillermo goes, he's joking. There's a silver egg in my butt. And then the clerk goes, we mostly do just like loot bags for kids. So they determine they probably don't have them. And Guillermo's really happy that his master's going to help him find a virgin because it's slim pickings out here in these streets. And then he goes, the Christian College Chastity Club seemed promising until I found out that most of them had a different definition of virgin than the common one. So I tried to look that up because I think Mormons try to get around that not having sex thing by
doing it up the butt.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Apparently that still counts in virgin world.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he goes, believe it or not, CrossFit gyms are full of virgins. No one's touched them. And the reason being is that they won't shut up about CrossFit. That's a funny joke, but it's sort of like a...
It's kind of a hack joke.
Yeah.
But Guillermo's not a comedian. He's working with the material he has.
Right. So I was looking at his list, and he had the Christian Chastity Club on there. He had the CrossFit gym people, and he also had another group, the Monty Python Appreciation Society. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
He never mentioned them, but no, they were on his list.
That's a fun little Easter egg right there, right? that you love.
Yep. So now they're in the store, and Nandor walks up holding a duck mask, and he goes, if you saw a man dressed in this mask, would you think it was a mood killer, or would you come? And Cameron was like, I'm not sure. And then they see this guy down the aisle who's a complete dork. And Nandor goes, wait, look at that man, Guillermo. He looks delicious. He has to be a virgin. And Guillermo goes, oh, I don't think he's a virgin. We should probably just keep shopping. But Nandor is convinced he is a virgin. And then the guy looks up and sees them looking. And the guy, his name is Jeremy. He goes, hey. And Guillermo goes, Jeremy, is that you? Oh. And Jeremy's like, yeah, it's me. Where have you been lately? We've been having some hella crazy Fortnite sessions. Hasn't been fun without Guillermo Goth 2000. Guillermo goes, oh, no. And Jeremy goes, did you change your gamer tag? You can tell me. And Guillermo goes, no, it's just work stuff. My boss just keeps, you know, riding me. And so basically they talk for a little bit. And Jeremy notices that they're getting ready. Nandor's just standing behind him being real weird.
All wide-eyed and excited.
Jeremy goes, are you having a party or something? And Guillermo goes, like, no. Nandor goes, yes, we are having a party, and we'd very much love to extend an invitation. Guillermo goes, no, I don't think Jeremy and his girlfriend would want to come to a lame party. And Jeremy goes, I don't have a girlfriend. And Guillermo goes, oh, yeah, you do. And Jeremy goes, oh, no, that was a catfish. Do you know anybody who's been catfished?
No. I'm too old for that.
I think not. People your age are right in the wheelhouse for being catfished. I've been watching these videos on YouTube of this group that goes out and finds catfishes, confronts them, and resolves or tries to resolve the issue. And there's one I was watching, and it was this woman from Nebraska, and she was sending money to this guy who was... in the armed forces, and he was stuck in Ghana, and he couldn't get back, and he needed her money. And he'd pay her back, of course.
Right.
And she was literally sending him, money. She was also donating her own plasma to make more money to send to him. And they talked to this guy on the phone, and as soon as they talked to him, that guy's got an African accent. He's not
an American soldier.
Right. And they literally found a video of the guy who he was pretending to be talking. And the guy he was pretending to be was like a mage, like a high enough in the ranks that they had a video of him talking. It was a white guy from the U.S. who she thought she was talking to. And it was crazy. And then they're like telling her, and she just kept making excuses. She's like, well, yeah, but here's what's really happening. And, you know, his phone doesn't always work. And, you know, she just was like, and finally they just had to be like, we can't help you because you don't want to be helped.
Right. I've been talking with this friend of mine about conspiracy stuff. So this is like the conspiracy brain, because if you've come to believe this thing is true, facing the psychological cost of accepting that it's not true is so great that like every piece of information that comes in, even if it contradicts everything that you know, mm-hmm. will just sort of be folded in, and the story will just be expanded and it will just change in order to adapt to this new information without ever accepting the fact that like everything you're being told is untrue.
Yeah, I was just watching some lady online who was talking to being interviewed, and she was saying that James Woods is playing Joe Biden. Joe Biden's dead. James Woods is just portraying him, and Donald Trump is the actual president.
Yes.
And nobody currently lives in the White House. Joe Biden, James Woods, lives in California, and it's just all a set. And she's very serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy shit. Yeah.
Well, this is the QAnon stuff, too. You have to create this entire world for this conspiracy to make sense. And it has to, like, lock out everything in the real world in order for that conspiracy to hold. And every once in a while, something will sneak in. Yeah. And then you have to, like, how is this part of the bigger story?
Right.
So, yes, so there's a guy I've been working with for a couple of years. So when you ask, I didn't think about him, but he's been catfished for years. Mm. There's a woman, she's from Iowa City. She went to Hollywood, made it as an actress for a while. Came back to Iowa City because she didn't like being an actress. And so he keeps...
She didn't like it.
Yeah. So he keeps sending her money because once she gets enough money, she's going to move up to Cedar Rapids and live with him.
Up to Cedar Rapids. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's
quite
met,
a journey.
And they've never met?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, of course not.
I mean, Cedar Rapids and Iowa City are 22 minutes apart.
But he shows me a picture, and this is like young, beautiful, like 24-year-old. And he's like a guy in his late 60s with no teeth. And every time I see him, I'm just like, have you stopped giving money? He's like, no, she just keeps asking for more. Dude, you got to stop.
He needs it.
He just cannot like get to the point where this is not true.
Right, it's an addiction.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, there's a psychological payment for it, or psychological benefit of believing in this thing. A real-world financial cost.
Yeah.
But you're getting some weird psychological benefit out of it. Yeah, it's a very weird thing. Well, anyways, that was a weird aside.
No, I love that kind of stuff. So he got catfished, Jeremy did, and go to an interview of Guillermo. And he's like, Jeremy's definitely a friend. I mean, big time. But he's also my friend. And then basically they're talking, and Guillermo keeps trying to convince him that, you know, you had a woman, and trying to get Jeremy to say he did. Jeremy goes, well, yeah, there was that one, but she stopped seeing me until I could get my nosebleeds under control.
Doesn't he say, aren't you seeing a new woman? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, but that's for my nosebleeds.
Yeah, well, then he does say, and once I've finally have that under control, maybe I'll find someone. Right. And then his nose starts bleeding everywhere and just spills on the floor. And he's like, oh, I got to go, but it was good to meet you guys. This one's going to be a full-on one in a few seconds here. He takes off, and then Nandor, like, goes down to the floor and, like, laps up the blood.
Yeah. Nandor about creams his jeans when the nosebleed starts.
Yeah. Yeah, he's down, he licks up the blood, and he says, that's some of the most virginal blood I've ever tasted. We must have him. And so now we go to Laszlo and Nadja, and they're watching porn together. And Laszlo goes, there's a man who enjoys his work. This was banned for 60 years, and it was like flapper. It was like back in the...
Like the 20s.
20s, yeah. And he's like... He goes, time to 23 skidoo, or should I say 69 skidoo? And then we go to another one where, like, a dominatrix has got him, and she's like, let's see the state college win their big game without their star quarterback. And every time they just go, it cuts to Laszlo's face and him going, yes, that's what I like. And all you can see is his face. This one, he goes, oh, yeah, Bebop-a-lula, I'm about to Sputnik. And then we get to Nadja, an interview with Nadja, and she's like, there's nothing more devastating than finding that your husband has made porn, and it's so bloody boring. Now he's in the 60s, And this is like a 60s porn. He goes, how old are you? And Lazo goes, 267. I'm joking. I'm 18. And he's obviously like a fat guy. Or he's like Lazo with a beard and stuff. He goes, have you ever been with a man before? And Lazo goes, how would you like me to answer that, Philip? No. You'll never guess where this is going. Then the answer is no. And then funky music starts playing and they... I don't know, pretty goofy. And Nadja goes, the only thing these videos are good for is putting crying babies to sleep. This is the funniest one. It's in 90s porn, and there's this girl sitting in bed, and he comes walking in, and the porn is called Signfuck. She's like, where have you been? I paged you over an hour ago. He's like, who are these people who are always paging? And what's the deal with pagers? She's like, shut up and get over here. And he's like, yep, that's exactly what I like. And it's his face again. Nadja, she's like, she goes, Lazo, I just think your work is stimulating as it is not quite right for our orgy. It's like erotica for churchgoers. He goes, even vampire tricked in a steam room? She's like, that didn't even make sense to me. I mean, how could we see what you were doing, but you couldn't? He's like, you've misunderstood. What happens is... I'm surrounded by what I think are women, and then the steam subsides, and I realize I'm actually surrounded by men, or by chaps. But I enjoy it. She's like, well, I got that bit, but it's boring. He's like, you think it's all boring? And then he gets all, like, somber, and he goes, I shall be in our bedchamber, and he leaves and goes into his room. She's like, wait, no. And then there's an interview with him, and he's like, she said that my pornos were boring, which is an unbelievable reaction. I showed her centuries worth of my pornos, and that's a lot of porn. And I don't think she followed the plots. Now we go to Guillermo calling Jeremy to invite him over. So he invites him over. He kind of gets beyond the fact that he doesn't want to invite him and just invites him over. And so that's kind of that scene. Nothing major happens in that one. And now we're back to party prep, and Nadja is talking about how it's going to be an amazing orgy, and they're just looking around, and she's looking at all the different stuff that they have. Like, there's a sculpture of depicting the moment her parents conceived her. They get the Fluffers chill out area. there's an electric chair role play. What are your last words? I want to have sex. And then she goes and she finds Laszlo in his coffin. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not coming to this thing. And she's like, are you role-playing as a depressed man? It's not working. And he's wearing, like, green track pants as opposed to, you know, he's always wearing
his British gear.
Yeah, he's like wearing just green Adidas track pants with the stripes. He's like, I'm not coming. I'm not in the mood. And she goes, is this because I said your porno was terrible? He goes, the pornos were superb. Have you any idea how difficult it is to make a porno? And she's like, do you want our orgy to fall apart and our good vampire names to go down in history with those names which we will not never say? And he goes, you mean Mike? She goes, yes, fucking Mike. He goes, to be honest with you, I couldn't care less. Good night. And then he goes back in his coffin and she lets the lid close after a second. And then she's stressed. And she explains, you know, if you throw a bad vampire orgy, you don't recover from that. Half the bats that you see are just vampires that have thrown terrible orgies, and they're too ashamed to regain their vampire form. And so they just flit around. Shame bats is what they're called. And you can tell it's them because they don't fly as high.
That's right.
So now we have Nadja. She's greeting people as they're arriving. There's Jian Shi. He's a Chinese jumping vampire. Mm. And he brought his cousin, and she goes, and he's this guy wearing like a, he's got like a big smile kind of, and he's gray, and he's got a top hat on. Yeah. And she goes, is he a Babadook? He goes, no, actually, I'm a Bababook, you know, bada bing, bada book, ayo! So he's like, he's sort of like Brian's chewing on your computer. I had to look up what a Babadook was because I was confused by that. Mm-hmm. By the way, the party started at 10:30, the orgy started at 10:30.
Okay. Seems like a good time for an orgy to start.
I think so. So I looked up what a Babadook was, and it's the invention of director Jennifer Kent. It is improvised from a Serbian word for the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. So it's a made-up thing for a movie. And then Colin's talking to people, and he's wearing, like, Like he's wearing like leather underwear with his ass out, yes, and like just these straps, yes, kind of, and then like a leather hat. Yeah. So he sort of looks like trying to think, like, you know, like the leather dudes or the leather dudes that were into, like, I don't know, like, was it in the 70s or something? Or
no,
maybe
like at least well into the 90s.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like the leather daddies.
Yeah.
at the sex clubs.
Right. He's dressed like that. And he's standing there talking to some people, and he's like, and I don't believe for 1 minute the raccoon actually solved the Rubik's Cube that it was given in the video, because there are clearly cuts in the video, but it was darling. So he's draining energy while he's dressed like that.
Just can't help himself.
Yep. And then Jeremy comes in, the virgin, and he brought some mochi ice cream. Sorry. Which I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
So I had to look it up.
It's not good.
It's not?
No. Yeah, I mean, I don't really like ice cream. I don't like dairy milk ice cream, so maybe that's part of it, but...
Oh, yeah. It's a confection made from Japanese mochi with an ice cream filling. It was invented by Japanese-American businesswoman and community activist Frances Hashimoto.
I feel like that's an indicator of, like, nerdness. Because, you know, like, nerds are real into anime and all this stuff, and so they love everything Japanese culture. Right. So when you bring mochi ice cream to a party, you're indicating who you are.
Gotcha. So he comes in, and he's got the ice cream, and, like, all the vampires are, like, gathered around. Their eyes are glowing. They're ready for him to be there, you know? And Jeremy sees Guillermo, and he's like, Guillermo, hey, this is a great party. Everybody's really friendly, because they're all, like, super interested in him. He's like, I brought mochi. I thought maybe people would eat that. Which they won't. Right. And Guillermo, we go to a quick interview with Guillermo. He's like, they're going to tear him apart. Basically says I brought my friend to a house full of vampires. So he's a little worried about that, you know. We cut to just back to Colin talking, and you just hear him go, yeesh. Well, you could argue, though, that all you need is a cell phone. So he's still boring people to fucking death.
Well, we also get a callback. Mr. 50s shows up.
Oh, yeah, Mr. 50s
from Manhattan.
That's right. I thought he blew up, but apparently
he
made it.
He made it through.
Then Lazo shows up, and he stands up on a ladder, on that ladder that was going to be used for calling out the sex acts. And he's got the bullhorn, and he wants everybody to stop talking, and he explains that this was supposed to be his orgy, but he has a pain in his heart. One of the vampires is like, who cares? So he goes, I put my heavy heart to one side for the love of my good lady wife, Nadja. I was recently watching all my porno films, which are sexy and a turn-on, but they lack one thing and one important thing, and that one thing is love. And everybody's like, oh, God. Yeah,
this is fucking gross.
He's like, the love I share for my good lady wife, Nadja, what say we conduct our own orgy upstairs, a two-person orgy? And everybody's like, what? And he goes, here's to love and to making love. And one of the vampires goes, what a boner killer. I thought Mike threw a bad orgy. Another one's like, I think I'm going to take off now. And they all start leaving, and Nadja's like stopping them from leaving. She's like, we haven't got to the best part yet. There's the most gorgeous virgin. She takes him to the room where they've put the virgin, and they open the door, and he's in there. And I forgot to mention, at one point they had like all this stuff gathered up, like all these things for the party, and they had like stacked together. And oh yeah, when Lazo brought his pornos down, he's like, I brought these for the party. And she's like, just put it with the other stuff. Mm. And there's like a bunch of other stuff sitting there, including just a man wearing a gimp mask.
Oh yeah,
sorry. He's just like in his like leather underwear, right, and like a gimp mask. They all go in to meet the virgin, or to feast on the virgin, and Jeremy the virgin is just pounding away at the gimp. They're having sex in there, so he's not a virgin anymore. So it's just really ruined. Now the entire party's ruined. Right. At the end, there's just Colin, Nadja, and Nandor? Yeah, that's who is left. And Colin goes, so, just the three of us, huh? So he thinks he's going to have sex with those guys, I guess. That cuts away and it comes back to Guillermo, and he's cleaning up now. And he's taking the coverings off the couches, And he's got the blood fountain, and he accidentally dumps the blood all over the couch after he takes the cover off. Oh, yeah. And you look over, and you see Colin, the Gimp, and Jeremy are playing, like, Uno or something. They're playing cards. And then Nandor says that he wants to check in on Laszlo because he thinks that Nadja's probably not going to let him forget about this one anytime soon. And he opens up the door, and there's two bats on the floor having sex. <is. laughs> So apparently Laszlo got to her heart.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it.
Well, that's the only action she's going to get tonight.
So. Yep.
And then the outro song I loved by a group called Leningrad. Okay. They're like a gypsy punk group.
Gypsy punk.
From Russia.
Not like acid jazz.
Not acid jazz, yeah.
Okay.
are you familiar with that term, gypsy punk?
Never heard of it.
Oh. Do you know Gogol Bordello? Do you know that band?
Yeah.
So they're gypsy punk, sort of.
Okay.
Where they kind of sing in Eastern European languages, use like Eastern European or gypsy rhythms and melodies, but have like a rock band set up.
Okay.
But yeah, Leningrad was fun. As soon as I saw that kind of music kicks in, I'm just like, ooh, my ears perk up. Like, really? I'm all in on that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's not really my style.
No. Oh, man, I love it so much. I love Gogol Bordello.
Okay. Well, we made it to the end.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was a long one.
Yeah.
Or maybe not long. It took us a long time to get through there. We had a lot of asides.
When you're talking about orgies and
power. There's a lot to clear up on the way.
Yeah, and catfishing. There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
I bet this was a super fun episode to write. So whoever got to write it, congratulations to you. Get to make 69 jokes.
Oh, yeah, 69s.
And button dong jokes.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was you. All right. Well, hey, you've been listening to Wes and Mike Waste Time and Watching TV, Season 6, Episode 9.
Let's waste more time next time.